Matthew chapter 10, verse number 11. It's good to see Haley, and Michael. Had good Bible studies with them this week. Get them established. God's going to do a work in those young men's life. Amen, I believe that. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. Inquire who in it is worthy. And there abide till you go thence. I want to preach tonight with your help and God's help. Unseen strength. Unseen strength. And then there's a word I add to that is axios. Axios. And that is the Greek word where it says worthy. Inquire who. Hey, lost my verse there. Inquire who in it is axios. That's the word. Inquire who in it is axios. Amen. Brother Boster, would you pray? Jesus' name, you may be seated. If you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37, I want to just take a little time to lay a foundation here tonight and what God has shown me. Unseen strength. Unseen strength. I want to preach tonight about the unseen strength of the church. Of the church. The unseen strength. What makes the church great? As I travel around, many times people talk about, well, that church is great. And they'll talk about the pastor. And thank God for the pastor. And they'll talk about their music department. And that's all well and good. They'll talk about their programs. But I come to tell you, it's not the pastor that makes the church great. It's important to have a good pastor. It's not the music, it's good and it's great and it helps to have good music. It's not the programs. There is an unseen strength that makes the church great. And I'm going to even tell you, it's not God. Because God is seen. He's seen in miracles as we've seen, Brother Jamie, and other things. God has seen, he's felt, God has heard. But there is an unseen strength that's in the church. I want to preach about that strength tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37 is a very familiar passage. This is the passage of the valley of dry bones. The prophet said God picked him up and brought him over a valley which was full of dry bones. Dry bones. And lo, there were very many in the valley. You know, I thought about that. The dry bones in the valley denoted that this was humiliating. To be left out to dry out, to be left out to the wild, to be left out to the weather. It was humiliating. They were not even given a proper burial. This was humiliation. And later on in that passage, we find that God said, this is an example of my church. That there's been a season where they had been humiliated, to where it was a valley of dry bones. But I've come to tell you, I want to do something in the valley of dry bones. And the Lord asked the prophet, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. As the Lord tells him, I want you to preach to the bones. You see this? Here comes this prophet, and all he's got is a valley full of dry bones, and he wants him to preach to these dry bones. And so he starts preaching. You know, that's probably a dead church right there. That's a pretty dead church. Talking about people not getting with you. Not going to get much of an amen there. Hallelujah. Well, he starts preaching by faith, praying by faith. And the Bible says that God brought bone to bone. God began to bring the leg bone over there and bring it to a thigh bone over there. And he brought a shoulder bone over there to a neck bone. And he began to assemble the body. Now, I want to tell you something. This passage is an example of the church. Later on, it says, after the body was fully assembled and after it got breath in it, the Lord said, it was a great and mighty army. Verse 10, a great and mighty army. A great and mighty army. But it had to have four stages before it became an army. And these are the four stages of the church. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. You don't have to put the scripture up. Just put my title up and add that word in too, because I want that. That's going to be my focal point. Amen. We got Brother Jacob back here learning. He's going to get this down. It may be by the end of the service, but by God, it'll be up there. Hallelujah. The first stage of building a church, if this is an example of the church, Brother White, the first stage is you got to have bones. You got to have bones. Bones give structure. Bones give strength. Bones are the unseen strength of the body. I saw this documentary years ago of this up-and-coming boxer. He had gone through the training. He was fit. Well, he got it up quick. There you go. Good job. He was fit, man. He looked the part. He was ripped. And in his first professional fight, now all these practice fights and all these amateur fights, they were protection. But in his first professional fight, they were in there. And in the first round, Brother Reap, the opposing fighter just barely hit him right in the jaw. Dude was knocked out. Brother Smith said it. He had a glass jaw. They call it a glass jaw. I've been to a lot of churches that have a glass jaw syndrome. Because the unseen strength of that fighter is not the muscles that you see. It's not the choreographed movement that he does. Are you with me? But the unseen strength, it's the inside of him, the bones, and the strength of those bones. If his bones are not strong, I don't care how massive his muscles are. I don't care if he knows how to swing his fist. I don't care if he knows how to good footwork. If he doesn't have good, strong bones. Are you catching what I'm pitching? It don't matter if we got a nice building. It doesn't matter if we got great music. It doesn't matter if we know how to worship. If we don't have good, strong bones. I've been around churches all my life, and I've preached to churches all over the country, all over the world, and I've seen churches that looked the part. Man, they got all the looks down, and man, they got the music down. But just as soon as one little problem pops up, that church falls apart. Just as one little issue, they don't know how to pray. They don't have prayer warriors. They don't have people that are strong, that can handle trouble, and they have a glass jaw syndrome. Preaching about the strength of the church tonight. The unseen strength. I'm preaching about the bones of the church. Everybody wants to be a part of the muscles and the sinews of the body. The muscles and the sinews of the body are the ministries. They like to be involved in the ministries. But what good is it to have a bunch of muscle if you ain't got no bones to attach it to? Huh? Come on. Amen. If I take my 200 and none of your business, for long I won't be minding that's their business. Thank you, Brother White. And I put it on Brother Brantley's. How old are you, Brantley? Huh? Six. I put my 200-pound body on a six-year-old bone frame. What's going to happen to that bones? It can't handle that. It can't handle that. The church, listen, there are ministries that God wants to put in the church. But I don't care how powerfully anointed, how good you are at singing. My God. I don't care how talented you are. If we don't have the bones to handle it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to grow. My. I'm preaching to some bones tonight. People may not see what you give. People may not see what you do. But we can't be a church without you. We can't grow without you. We can't go forward without you. We need the bones of the church. Hallelujah. Some, they like to be the flesh, because that's what everybody sees. Huh? So they see. They see the pastor. Do you know when the Lord spoke to the seven churches of Asia, he never one time gave credit to the pastor. He didn't even say their name. He warned them. He just called them an angel. But there's many times he talked about some of the bones in the church. He talked about saints. Their names were brought up. So many want to be the flesh. But what makes our church great? And I thank God for ministry. But it's not the ministry that's going to make this church great. It's the bones of this church. I know this is different tonight. But I want to help somebody. Because I feel a spirit attacking the church this morning. A spirit of, I'm not worth anything. A spirit of, well, I can be used somewhere else. Because you don't see where God's using you right now. And the devil just wants you to be involved in the flesh when God's called you to be a bone. Come on. Come on. Now, the last part of the body was the breath of God, the Spirit of God. We have felt the Spirit of God in this place, haven't we? I said, we've had some powerful services. Where, man, when we started church, the power of God was palpable in here. It was, you could almost cut it with a knife. You know where that comes from? It comes from a church that's in order. Not a pep rally. Anybody can hype you up. I'm not trying to hype you up tonight. I'm trying to preach what God gave me. I want to help somebody. I want to honor the bones of our church. I want to honor what makes this church strong. People look at our church and they talk about it. And I'm very careful. They'll say, oh, Brother Chapman, you guys are doing this. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. We got a good church. We got a good church. Those are good people right there. Those are good. You don't understand. All you see is the flesh. All you see is the ministry. But what you don't see is the bones that hold us up and the bones that keep this thing moving and keep this thing structured. I thank God for the unseen strength of the church. Yeah, man. I said, I thank God for the unseen. I'm glad to be in a church that doesn't have a glass jaw because we got good bones in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God breathed upon that bodies. When things are in order, God breathes on it. When we keep things in order, God will bless it. I've seen people who were great bones in a church, great ministries in the church. But they wanted to be the flesh. They wanted to be what everybody saw and heard. And they stepped out from their calling. And they try to do things outside of their calling. And they're no longer a part of the body anymore. Huh? Oh, it's getting tight. But it's right. I want to build the kingdom. It's not my kingdom. Amen. It's not my kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And I want to be in the body. And I want the blessings of God. I want the breath of God on my life. And to have the breath of God in my life, I've got to be in order. God's not going to bless a mess. Come on, somebody. I said, God's not going to bless a mess. Matthew chapter 10, I read to you one verse, but the passage was a commissioning of the Lord to his 12 and telling them to go out and build churches. And in the process of telling them to go out and build churches, and I quoted from Luke 10 last week, he said, take no purse, take no scrip, take no shoes, and salute no man on the way. But then he also told them, go out there, in Matthew, and find Axius. Find Axius. Those who are worthy. That's what I want to preach about. Axius. Before I go into that, let me just kind of remind you about those four things he said not to worry about. The purse. God's not concerned about what's in your bank account. Your bank account should not dictate your vision. Come on. This church's bank account didn't dictate where we're at today. We are at today because we left our purse and said, God, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to trust God's math in this situation. I'm going to trust God in this situation. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be used of God, you can't put a budget on what God is trying to do. You can't put a budget and say, God, well, if I had this much money, you could use me. Or if I had this, I would do what you told me to do. Sitting at the table of Elder Watts this afternoon. Wasn't that awesome? 89 years old, having a birthday tomorrow. His wife's having her 90th birthday in a few months. He said, I went out. God told me to go start my first church in Pasadena, California. He said, I went there, and we had three saints and $3. But we had vision to go ye, to do the work of God. He didn't go based upon his purse. He didn't allow God to use him based, I'm talking about God's commission. You're going to limit what God can do in your life if you're going to put a dollar amount and you're going to look at your bank account and say, well, God can only, no. You need to realize that God owns it all, and if he wants it, he can make it happen. He can open the door. He can make a way when there is no way. He can provide. Amen. Some of you are mad and angry and disappointed that you don't have a testimony. But maybe that's because you won't give God a chance to do a miracle because you're always trying to figure it out for yourself. Amen. You got to drop that purse. And he said, take no scrip. If you're going to be used to God, the scrip was a type of satchel or bag that kept important documents. One of those documents was credit. He said, I told you don't worry about your money and don't worry about the money you think you can borrow from somebody else. I have guys calling me because I'm a director for home missions across North America. How much money will you give me to go start a church? Nothing. Zero. If you don't like it, you can call and tell them to fire me because I don't get paid anyways. What do you mean? I said, if you ain't got faith to do what God's called you to do, I ain't funded it. And if you'll just go, if God's called you to do it, then take no purse and take no scrip. I don't care if anybody supports me. I don't care if anybody don't back me. I don't need their credit. I don't need their support. This is what God called me to do, and therefore that's what I'm going to do. Give it. I had someone call me when I was leaving Morganton. We were full-time in Morganton for quite a while. and said, you're going to have to go get a job. I said, I don't care. God will provide. Aren't you worried about it? No. I left my purse a long time ago. I left my script a long time ago. The other thing the scripts would carry was documentation of your credibility or your credentials. You know what? You know what God doesn't care about? Your abilities. God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Come on. God's looking for you. He don't care how many PhDs you got. He don't care what's in your credentials. I know the world says, well, we want to sit at everybody's table. That's the problem with too many Christians. We want to sit at tables, Sister Jess, that God told us to flip over. Come on. I said, we want to sit at tables that God never intended to be at, because God said, I will place you before great men. I will make room for your ministry. I will make room for your calling. Jealousy ain't got no place in the house of God. Posturing ain't got no place in the house of God. I'm talking about unseen strength still. Keep your script. Leave it. He said, take no shoes. And Matthew says, don't take two coats with you. Don't take your shoes. What's that mean? Because the extra coat and the shoes means you got direction. You know where you're going. If you bring an extra coat because you know you're going to cold climates and you know where you're going. He said, I don't want you to worry about direction. I'll speak to you where I want you to go and what I want you to do. You see, we live in a society, and it's all right. That's the way we are. It's humanity. We want to know every single step of the way, how God's going to do it, how he's going to work it out, when's he going to work it out, exactly how is God going to do it. I want to. God, and I've got preachers call me and say, I got a 5-year plan. Good for you. I ain't got a 5-minute sometimes. Come on. And those guys with 5 years planned, 5 years from now, still ain't done nothing for God. I'm not talking about not having a vision. I'm talking about trusting God's process and realizing I want God to do things sometimes that's outside of my ability, outside of my understanding, outside. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to trust him. Come on. Well, Pastor, I've got it all figured out. Well, good for you, because I don't think you do. And I think that you're missing the miracle that God has for your life, because you got it all figured out. You know, so many times God only shows us in part. God told Abraham, go to yonder country. That's how we know God was a redneck. Go to yonder. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, not knowing where he was going, started traveling. Come on. No shoes. I believe God has taken us into a season of revival. We're going to have testimonies of people saying, you know, God just told me to get up and drive down the road, and he was going to show me who to talk to, and he's just going to open doors for a miracle. Come on. I said, I believe that. Don't take your shoes. Don't have a plan. Well, I know what God's called me to do, and I know my talents, and I know my skills. You like those people on American Idol that everybody that you grew up with told you you were good. There are many voices in this world. I used to think, my God, surely they don't know. They know they sing bad. They don't. They have no clue. They think they're God's gift to the music industry. They're trying to be the star when they need to be back here setting up speakers. You know what messes up a church? When people don't embrace their calling. See, Brother Boster, I didn't want to be a pastor. You know what I want to do? Vandalize. I wanted to be an evangelist. Evangelist, I mean. I wanted to go in churches and blow up, blow in, blow up, and blow out. I even told my, I watched my dad pastor and watched Brother Gilmore deal with people. And like, God, I don't want to deal with that stuff. Knuckleheads. Get up. Oh, I love my pastor. I love my pastor. We got the greatest church in the world. That always scares me. Just when they start doing that stuff, oh, God, here it comes. Because they're not convincing me. They must be trying to convince himself. I'm meddling. Come on. I want to help us today. I come against the enemy today. So I'm coming against the enemy today. Listen to me. The problem is tonight, those who think I'm preaching to you, I'm not preaching to you. It's those that are so knucklehead right now, they don't get it. Mom, you getting nervous? Y'all don't realize how much Brother Gilmore's inside of me. Come on now. He said, you don't need direction. And last thing he said, salute no man along the way. You know what the problem is so many in this generation, Jamie? They want everybody to give them affirmation except God. I want everybody to see how good I am except God. Except God. Now listen, those you think I'm preaching to you, I'm not preaching to you. The ones that need to hear it are still too knucklehead right now. Now everybody's wondering, who is he preaching to? Because I thought he was preaching to me. I am preaching at you. Man, what you riddling for, Pastor? Riddle me this. Hallelujah. I want to go to heaven. But until then, we got work to do. I said, we got work to do. And I want to be working for the kingdom of God. And I want to be building the kingdom of God. And I want to, my. Amen. My, I love Pentecost. Like what the preacher said the other day. He said, I'm so Pentecostal, the only way I want my pizza if it's delivered. Some of y'all get that next week. Hallelujah. Axios. I want to preach you some access tonight. This church is a great church because of the access of this church. The bones of this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm hurrying here tonight. I'm almost done. You know, I'm closer to being done than when I started. That's deep right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I want to read this because I want to help you. Because every one of you are important to the kingdom of God. Every one of you. And so many times, the Sunday school teachers, they don't get seen. Those who clean the church don't get seen. The only ones that get seen sometimes are just, you know, good looking me. Holly, it's a hard burden, but somebody's got to carry it. I'm just joking. I ain't ever going back to that conceited preacher's church. Some people can't take a joke, Brother Eric. You ever met people like that? I had a guy one time, he said, I can't come to your church. You're not serious enough, is what he said. You're not serious enough. Okay. And it was 2 years later, he came back. Then he said, I can't come to your church. You're too serious. Man, I can't win with some people. Hallelujah. That's all right. People like that are not Axios people. The scripture says, he said, go find those who are worthy. And if you find those who are not Axios, get away from them. Don't mess with those people, because they're only going to cause you trouble. Go find worthy people, Axios people. Now, Axios is where we get from the Greek, we get the word axle, or the axis of something. It's what keeps things moving. Everybody sees the big rubber wheel, but in the middle of that car is an axle. That if that axle breaks, you may not see it on the outside, but you ain't going nowhere. We need everybody in the church. Sometimes people don't see the axles of the church. Come on. But it's the axles of the church that keep it strong. They kept things together when others left. They kept praying when nothing was happening. They kept believing when it was a valley of dry bones. Come on. Amen. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this: for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I know that sounds silly, don't it? But I've met people do that. They get tired of being the foot. They get tired of their position in church or the kingdom of God. And so they say, you know, well, if I can't be used on the platform to sing, then I'm just not going to be part of the church. I'm not preaching to you that want to be used behind the scenes and you want to be used to give your gifts to God. I'm preaching to a spirit that wants attention. It's not you. I know you don't want attention. You just want God to use you, and that's different. That's different. I thank God for you. You are the Axios my wife and I were looking for. You are the Axios that God sent us to Gastonia to find. You are the worthy ones. You didn't feel you were worthy, but you found worth when you came to church. And you're the unseen strength of this church. And you're the unseen strength of my wife and I, and to the ministry of this church, because of your faithfulness. Come on. But you know what'll wear a pastor down? Someone that won't accept their place in the kingdom of God. That's constantly posturing and positioning. Huh? I'm plowing tonight. To our first-time guests, I love you. We're glad you're here. And God's doing great things. We've seen miracles here. We got a miracle sitting on that back wall back here. It's supposed to have been dead four times before this year is even. We gave thousands of dollars to missions last year, almost $100,000, over $100,000. We've been blessed. But you know where that came from? It came from the axis of the church. Come on. I thank God for the axis of the church. People who embrace what God's called them to do and say, I just want to be faithful to God. As I travel around the country, I see people in churches that they're not the pastor. They're not the lead pastor, but they're used in ministries within the church. And you begin to talk to the pastor, say, you know, that person's been with me for 30, 40, 50 years, and they've worked with me. Some of them were in ministry. Some of them were in other places. And what's the assistant pastor in Elk Grove? Help me out. Brother Diaz, he was with Brother Young in Southern California. Then he was with him in Oakland, California. And then when he went to Elk Grove, it wasn't too long. Brother Diaz said, "No, sir, you know, I'm just here to be your axis. I'm here to support you. I'm here to help build the kingdom of God." I'm telling you, if you know Brother Diaz, he can be pastoring any church anywhere he wants to. But he's embracing what God's called him to do. And he says, "I've got to be with the man of God. I've got to be behind the one God's called me to be. I'm telling you something. There's power when you begin to embrace where God's placed you in the kingdom." Hallelujah. I know this is different. Bear with me tonight. If the foot shall say, "Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body." Verse 16, if the ear shall say, "Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body." Is it this for not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath what? It ain't about you. It's not about me. I'm going to say what Brother Victor shared the other day, something Brother Cody Mark said. I love it. Offenses will come. Offenses will come. But offenses are events. Offended is a choice. Offenses are events. Being offended is a choice. You know what axios of the church do? They own themselves. They accept responsibility for their stupidity. I know I got some in me. I got that 8-year-old lives inside of me, Brother Jacob. He's stupid. He talks me into stuff sometimes. It's like, sure. Wasn't smart. And maybe you never slip up and say something you wish you didn't say. But I know I have. But in axios, when he understands and realizes, or she understands and realizes, I became an event of offense. I became an event of offense. They own it. If I ever offended you, Brother Don, it would break my heart. I would own it. Love you. I don't want to hurt you. Because that's what an axios does. But you know what a glass jaw does? They break. And they'll never apologize for their stupidity. They'll never own it. And they are not worthy of the church. What's this? If they're not worthy, they're not axios, avoid them. Ooh, it's getting tight. Huh? I'm preaching to a bunch of axios tonight, but we got some glass bones in this church too. And if you don't straighten up your ways, God's going to build the church away from you instead of with you. "Well, I've got good talent." God don't need your talent. You could be the greatest at what you do, and God will pick somebody that is dumb as a hill of beans and replace you with that person. If you don't believe it, ask the devil. The devil had everything, and God said, "I'm going to replace you with dirt." You think you're the big bad? You think you're the best gift to the universe? Well, I'm going to replace you with a pile of dirt. And then from that dirt, I'm going to take a rib and make a, whoa, man. That's what happened. God told Adam, "You're a man." What you want to call that? He goes, "Whoa, man." Hallelujah. Y'all ain't gonna remember nothing I preached tonight. He said, whoa, man. Or that. Hallelujah. I'm preaching this. Hey, I thank God for what the man of God preached, that you can repent and God's blood can cover you and you can become a part of what God's doing and you can let God bless you and you can get your spirit right. I said, you can get your spirit right. I'm going to be a part of the kingdom. I'm going to be a part of, I want to be an axis of the church. I want to be a part of what God's doing. It goes on down in that same passage. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Come on. I'm telling you, you may feel like, and the devil may tell you, you're not doing anything for the church, but there's some of you that my wife and I in the church and the leadership of the church, we need you. You are important to us. You are axios to us. You have brought us strength to help us move the will of this church. But the will of this church could not move without the strong axios people that God has brought here. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. God hates those who sow discord in the body. They're not worthy of what God's doing. If they don't get right, they're not worthy of it. You know what I love about this church? I'm preaching to a spirit that's not even here yet. Because I don't want it here. It's a loving group of people, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't want that schisms here. It's knocking on the doors while I'm preaching about it. There's two in this room right now that it's living in your heart, and if you don't get it right, you're going in the wrong direction. Now, Pastor, you're not supposed to be that blunt. Oh, I'm not being blunt. I'm preaching to unrelated people. That'll help you a little bit. That the spirit of not accepting your role and reaching for other things because ambition has no place in the kingdom of God. Listen to me. Desiring to be used of God is not ambition. Coming to me and saying, Pastor, I want to be used. That's not the spirit I'm preaching at. That's not the spirit I'm preaching at. But there is a spirit of ambition that it's arrogance. When God spoke to me, said, go to Gastonia. Musicians, get ready to come. I called Pastor Erskine. I said, Pastor Erskine, that scripture in Matthew 10 says for me to go there and find worthy people, axios families. I'm going to give it a year. And if we can't build a church, that scripture also says if you can't find axios people, what's it tell you to do? Dust off your feet and leave and go somewhere else. Now listen, I walked into a situation with axios people. I didn't even realize how much that you had prayed. I had been disconnected from this congregation for a long time. I was busy in the field. But I want to honor some uncomely parts. What I mean by that, unseen strength of the Rock Church tonight. I want to honor some unseen strength of the Rock Church tonight. I want to take a moment and give honor to where honor is due. Brother, sister, Reap, would you stand? I want you to come and stand here in the altar. Here's some unseen strength of the Rock Church. Just stay here. Just face me. That's fine. I love you. Prayer warriors. When we first got here, he'd call me every week. I got a Bible verse for you, Pastor. And there was weeks I needed it. Now, all people saw was Pastor Chapman. What they didn't see was an axle that God was allowing me to spin on. An axiom. Sister Linda Hendricks to come. Sister Mary. Come on, Sister Mary. Brother Dwight and Sister Darlene, Sister Swells, I want you to come. I know this is different tonight. I'm not apologizing for this.